אנחנו קוראים מספר כתבי רבש כרך ג' בעמוד 2088.
We're reading from the writings of Rabash, volume 3, article 932, writings of Rabash, volume 3, article 932, the first innovation.
Right. That's in connection to our preparation for Passover. So we recommend going over several articles. One of them is the first innovation. So go ahead.
The first innovation. All the innovations begin only after man is rewarded of exiting self-love, self-perception.
Because it's clear that within self-perception there are no real discernments, but he is only in his own desire, and only in his own desire he feels and attains what happens inside the desire. He can't come out of attaining and understanding that something happens besides outside the desire. Meaning a person isn't even aware of how he determines everything and feels and sees only from within his own desire. And he has no way of seeing the world as it truly is, independently, objectively. He can't. Everything he sees within himself, within the desire. This is why we say that all the innovations begin only once a person is rewarded with exiting self-love, self-perception. Because before this, he can say whatever he wants, but it's all from within the will to receive. So, except for Kabbalists, the only people in the world, if we can still find them, the rest, all of them, as it's written, all who fault in his own defect. So we can't, there's no point scrutinizing and deliberating with others, because everyone is immersed within his own view. Whatever works for his own will to receive, that's how he sees, and he can't determine any other form. That's clear, right? So that's what the world is built like. It doesn't matter if you're religious or secular or a philosopher, great, smart, stupid, whatever. No difference. Everyone is inside their egoistic desire. And out of these desires, they speak.
And that is the matter, that you cannot teach Torah to those who worship the stars and signs.
What does it mean that it's forbidden to teach idol worshippers? Forbidden means impossible in the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning as long as a person is within his will to receive, in Egypt, in exile from spirituality, until then he cannot learn Torah, he cannot ask for the Torah, he cannot come out of his will to receive. He can't learn forms that are outside of the will to receive. The whole Torah elevates him, brings him out of the will to receive, sanctifies his forms, his will to receive, and then he learns all the forms that are in the corrected will to receive in order to bestow. Because the Torah is the reforming light which influences the will to receive, and the will to receive comes equipped with the aim to bestow. So, forbidden means it's impossible to learn Torah to idol worshippers. What does it mean? He's worshipping idols. He's in the will to receive and cannot be neutral, unbiased, objective, above the desire, before he comes out of Egypt, before he rises above the will to receive.
Because while a person is in Egypt, he cannot be a Jew.
A Jew is one who wants to connect and can connect with others and build out of the connection between them a partzuf, similar to the Creator. This is called Yehudi, Jew, from the word Yichud, unification. So he can't. In Egypt, the work is either the work of Egypt, which is the Egyptians, or the work of the children of Israel in Egypt, who are trying to get out, but still can't. They still have work of mustering the strength to exit, the desires, intentions, the strength to come out. But in between, until they run from Egypt, they can't be rewarded with the Torah. Meaning, in Egypt, you can't be rewarded with the Torah, but when we shift from Egypt, rise above the will to receive, then we begin to receive the reforming light and build gradually all the kelim that they took from Egypt, all the desires in order to receive, to turn them into, in order to bestow.
So again, we'll go back, because while a person is in Egypt, he cannot be a Jew, because he's enslaved to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And while he's a slave to Pharaoh, he cannot be a worker of the Creator.
Because one cancels the other. You can either be a servant to Pharaoh or to the Creator. You can either work in order to receive or in order to bestow. There is no in-between. No other option is possible. It's either this or that.
And that is the matter of, to me, are the people of Israel. They are my servants, and they are not servants of servants. Because while a person serves himself, he cannot be the servant of the Creator. Because you cannot serve two kings simultaneously. And only after a person exits Egypt, meaning exits self-reception, then he can be the worker of the Creator. And then he is able to be rewarded with the Torah,
the reforming light. Because then he begins to process these desires which he took from Egypt. These are the children of Israel who took the kelim, the vessels, from the Egyptians. And he begins to correct them to be in order to bestow.
So it turns out that the first innovation is the Exodus.
Questions? Nice. Everyone's ready. Yes. Maestro.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to ask, if we're talking, if we move for a second to our time now, if you can maybe talk about the ego of the Jews that live here and Jews that live outside of Israel. Because if I look even at artists, and you look, say, at the Oscars, so in the Oscars everyone sits there and everyone supports each other. And I saw recently a ceremony here that if it's not, when a prize is given, if it's not a person that he is nominated for, then he's just looking into his phone and focusing on himself. So,
where is Egypt? You mean Egypt's here?
I understand, but why are they seemingly better?
Who is better?
The non-Jews.
Non-Jews are better because they have only one form, no free choice. They don't belong to the spiritual work. They don't have the reshimot that pull them to work. And what appears to them is the will of the Creator. And the Creator compels them to do whatever it is they're doing, bad or good, doesn't matter. But it's all the Creator working through them without any of their own participation.
Because the Jews, they awaken this rejection. You see them on TV.
Of course, because Jews are much more cunning, selfish, dirty. They're the ones who bring all the trouble. What, you see? Who's doing all the mess in the U.S.? The Jews. Who's against Israel in the U.S.? Jews? Of course. The nations of the world don't have the reshimo, the recollection from the spiritual work. They weren't in it. And so their behavior is only in one line. The Creator is managing them and is managing them to the extent, according to how we manage ourselves, for better or for worse. All the nations of the world are like the kelim within us, which we have to correct internally, and correspondingly it projects outwards. So their behavior is only in order to prod us, or push us, or pull us, whatever, toward correction, either in a good way or in a bad way. That's it. But the behavior of the Jews, it's awful. It's despicable. The way they behave against Jews who are supporting Israel, who is demonstrating against them? Jews, right? Like at APEC, for example. In the hall, you have people who are many people who are for Israel, and outside, the Jews are demonstrating against Israel. Yes, cancel Israel. They don't need it. And then what for? It's this form of egoism. Who would have thought for 2,000 years that there would be the state of Israel, and the Jews would not only choose not to be there, but want to cancel it? It's very odd.
But sometime, in order to get the method, we need to project this sympathy.
What sympathy? You're talking about us?
I'm saying, if the essence of creation is that they'll understand that we have this secret we need to pass on to them, then sometime this has to flip and we need to project sympathy.
Well, we're trying to explain. If you're talking about us, Nebuch, we're saying that we have to love each other, we have to connect, that this is our duty.
Meaning will happen just here? Only we will save the world?
No. The Jews outside of our framework? No. Look at the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. That'll give you an example of the Jews today. No.
Meaning the mission on this group is very, very big. It's to influence the entire world.
In essence, no one can even come close to us, and internally, in the essence, in the spiritual force. The fact that we are few, it's written, you are the least among the nations. What can you do? You can see, we're still not succeeding to influence the Jews with our force, so they will somehow begin to understand their vocation and connect. It's true. When we see these things, we have to also think that it's our fault that we are not strong enough to direct it toward connection.
And to resemble it to the same to what we're learning about. Was it always that way, or isn't it worse now?
Well, for the past 2,000 years, what? The land of Israel was sanctity. Maybe once we will return there. The rejection from the land of Israel started in the last few centuries. Jews, even back in the 18th and 19th century, Jews were willing to come here. They were held back. The Tsar wouldn't let them come here from Russia. Afterwards, it was the communist regime, and from Poland, where there were so many Jews. The rabbis themselves stopped them from coming here. You learn this in university, right? You do? Can't hear you. What? No. You don't learn this? Now you do learn it. I don't know if those who are in your course they're not. Okay. But it's known. It's known that for the past several centuries that ordinary people were ordered by their chief rabbis not to leave. This is why they didn't leave and why they all perished in the Holocaust.
I'm talking about Egypt of that same time. In comparison to that era, Egypt to Egypt and Jews to Jews, what's changed there?
With today's Egypt?
Yep.
Now, today's Egypt has nothing to do with the past.
No, not the country, like the ego.
Our ego keeps growing more and more, and we have to deal with it. The Egypt within a person is the same Egypt as it was. And whether it is more or less in each of us, that's man's work. And also, our Egypt, though it seems to us like it's more complicated, heavier, harder, but accordingly, we also have more means. We have books with which we can draw reforming light, greater reforming light. Look, all of the material of Baal HaSulam and Rabash, where it says black over white, you know, how to build a group and everything. You can say, yes, but my ego compared to what they had 2,000 years ago, it's completely different. Right, it's different. But what can you do? Accordingly, you have help. So the work becomes more pinpointed, so to speak. But what can you do? It's work.
Thank you very much.
Yes, so you understand the first innovation? Only after the exodus from Egypt, we have control over the will to receive when we transcend it and can be in contact with the reforming light, and then we can be between the two forces, upper force and lower force, and then we can determine the way we advance. Then we can be a free nation in our land. Gradually, we come closer to this after we exit from Egypt, and this is called the first innovation. Clear. We have another article.
The second article on the same page, on page 2088, 930, the matter of the head of the month. This month, meaning Nisan, is the head of the months. That the matter of month is an innovation, a renewal, and the matter of head is the beginning. And the first beginning is that the Creator took them out of Egypt, because this is above nature. And a person can only go within nature, and only the Creator can do deeds which are not according to nature. And since a person was created with a nature which he has a desire to receive for itself, therefore he is unable to do actions which are in order to bestow. And since that is the only thing that is required from man in this world, that his intention will be entirely to bestow, therefore when a person begins in work, then he sees that he is not able to do so. But it's required from man to ask of the Creator to help him, that he will be able to walk in the path of bestowal. But a person needs to believe that the Creator, he hears the prayer of every mouth. Therefore, a person is obligated to believe that the Creator has taken us out of Egypt, meaning out of one's desire to receive for oneself. And to the extent that he has faith in that, to that same extent he can ask from the Creator that he too will receive that gift, that he'll be taken out of the land of Egypt. And only then, meaning when he'll pray from the walls of his heart, then the Creator takes him out of Egypt. Therefore, this is the head of the months, because prior of exiting Egypt, one cannot be rewarded with any innovation in the Torah.
Well, it's the same form of innovation as we said about concerning the first innovation. Yes?
So it turns out that we have a prayer that a person needs to ask himself, and there is the prayer of every mouth. It's two different prayers. How can you explain this? We learn that a true prayer is a prayer of everyone. You connect, and then one prayer results.
No. There's a prayer of each one for others. Prayer for others. If you take the prayer book, and you will see, it's called the 18 prayer, or standing prayer. So what does it say there? It says, very simply, for the righteous, for the pious, and for us. That's it. For us. Why? Because that's the main thing. It's the main thing. Blessed are you, or the Lord, our God. We're talking about others. Throughout all the text talks about others. It's all in plural form. Those who keep the fallen and make the sick healthy. And if there's a mention of us, it's only in the end. But all the prayers are for others. For the general public, not for ourselves. Here, a person in the prayers, you hardly have any mention and any word that you can attribute to yourself.
So that's the contradiction we have here, that a person is, what's required is that he asks the Creator to help him.
Not that he will help him. What do you say that he should help him? Rav is reading very quickly through all the prayers, and they're all in plural form. That's what he's showing us. It's all for the general public. Where do you see a person praying for himself?
The text we're reading now in the article.
In the article? I don't know. Where in the article does it say that he's praying for himself?
Second column, it says, and it's required that a person will ask of the Creator to help him to go in the path of bestowal. I need to ask him to help me.
Okay, now I get it. I have to ask for what?
To help me.
Help you what?
To go in the path of bestowal.
Oh, that's okay. That's true. That's fine. What's wrong with it? What are you asking?
This isn't the prayer we're learning. In the Congress, we talked about the prayer for the entire lesson, that it needs to be for the others, nothing for myself.
And wait a minute, and this is for what?
For myself.
What?
That I'll go in the path of bestowal.
To bestow upon others.
But I have a contradiction here. I'm not able to settle this.
Well, that's a problem. I ask for the strength to bestow upon others, right?
Not that others will be able to bestow, but that I'll bestow.
That you will succeed in bestowing upon others, right? I'm asking for the strength to bestow upon the group, to bestow upon others. Give me strength to be immersed in the group, to stop thinking of myself. Nothing. I don't want to exist if it's for me. I want only to be included in them. So I'm asking for myself, right? But what am I asking? to serve everyone, to do good to everyone.
You can go in different directions here.
What directions?
I can ask myself to be rich to bestow to others. I can ask to live for more years to bestow to others. All these different delusions.
Why delusionary? If I need strength in order to bestow upon others, then I ask for the strength to bestow upon others, or perhaps money or whatever. But what is the intention? Don't confuse yourself. You're still... What is your intention in the heart? You can't trick the Creator. But you can't trick yourself for now. If I need strength in order to bestow upon others, and to begin with, I don't exist. I've exited Egypt. I elevated myself above my ego. And then I'm asking, let me work with my ego in such a way that I can bestow using this force upon others. So I can't ask for this. In what other way am I going to connect? I have nothing but my will to receive. All I'm asking is to have the right form over the will to receive. But it's the will to receive. Only through it correcting it can I connect to others. You need to think some more. If these words confuse you, then you need to think, well, yes.
What he said now, it can confuse.
Guys, I don't understand. Do you understand what an intention is? Intention. An intention is the inner direction in the heart. You can say, how do I know what's in my heart? You're told, whatever you understand and feel, if it's directed to benefit others from you outwards or not. Is it? This is what you need to check. By this, through this vector, through this direction, you become similar to the Creator. That's it. So don't... Who are you kidding? Yourself. Yeah.
There's a confusion here between being able to ask for strength to bestow to setting conditions. If I won't have this and this and that, then I won't be able to bestow.
What conditions?
If I won't have enough money, I won't be able to bestow. If I won't have enough strength, I won't be able to bestow. How can I differentiate between asking for strength to putting conditions to bestow?
No. You're doing business with the Creator. You want to sign a contract with Him. Give me the conditions I need, and I'll do something in return for you.
That's what I'm asking. How do I know that I'm asking for strength or that I'm just setting conditions here?
That's the work of the heart. This is the work of the heart, in the heart. It all depends on the extent to which you're in the society and it influences you and gives you cleanness in your intention. That's the intention. Work in the group. Perhaps you're not connected enough. You're not receiving through them an illumination that gives you discernments in scrutinizing the bad, correcting it. But these conditions, as you put it, I want you to do something for me and then I'll be able to bestow. This is the wrong approach altogether, because you are setting conditions. Why? Because you think the Creator has to do this and that in order to give you room for work correctly. Why?
It can be strength.
No. You don't understand that the upper force arranges the world according to what it needs, and I have to ask for only one thing. If I am asking for the strength to bestow, the strength for correction, everything else will fall into place. I don't need to think about them. I don't need to think about them. I need to ask only for this. The fact that you have lack of, God forbid, health or provision or family problems or whatever. If you're asking for the force, for the power of bestowal, accordingly, the whole world will fall into place. Your entire world, your entire life will fall into place. Moscow.
Да. Так. Вопрос такой: почему Египет?
So this is the question. Why is Egypt? Why, as a country, it has no connection, no relation to the clothing of the ego in our days, to how it's revealed? Meaning, we talk about the revelation of the ego, we ascribe that to America, but not to Egypt. And Israel, as a country, has this relation of the revelation of bestowal in the world. We're saying that Israel, as a nation, as a country, it's still as it was. It's the same place.
According to what happened, Israel went out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt, and that's it. And Egypt remained as it was. That was it. Enough. We built whatever we built there, all the pyramids and whatnot, and we went out. That's it. And we went out in peace. Pharaoh himself said, go, and shut the door behind us. And that was it. And the fact that it's written in the Torah that Egypt was ruined after the children of Israel. Yes, there were the 10 plagues and whatnot. It's what our will to receive experienced spiritually. Physically, there was no such thing. Like in Babylon. What? Did everyone run from Babylon? No, they stayed there. People stayed there. The fact that from there the world eventually was inhabited, yes, but also not completely. Before that, weren't there people in the world everywhere? So we need to explain and understand it. We also need to scrutinize how the spiritual root touches the physical branch in this world. And fashions it according to the story we read in the Torah, and to what extent this story also happened in this world. So we need to see how to, we need to understand how to see it correctly. People don't understand it. We'll get to it. Perhaps while we're studying about Pesach, we'll discover this. But first and foremost, we're not talking about history or geography. We don't care about that. Just so long as we have a better understanding of our correction within us and with respect to the entire world. Moscow, please. Moscow.
Question from Moscow. What desires, what vessels do we need now to bring out of the current Egypt, and how can we do it?
Whatever we can. We, first and foremost, need connection. With whatever we have today, to create connection in the ten, to make that connection as properly established as possible, as tight as possible, as solid as possible. Afterwards, we'll see what happens with us. Afterwards, we'll have all kinds of problems will appear in one, in another, and so on, to detach and to be separate from others, etc. We'll start working on it. And as we work on these things, after some time, when we maintain connection above and atop all the obstructions, we'll come to a state where the connection between us is like a sandwich. We have inside all kinds of problems and troubles, and still we maintain the connection. So within this view, we'll begin to discover the upper force, which sustains us and keeps us, and is revealed in this view that between us, in the, we maintain it in the connection in this ten. This is what we will reveal. This is our purpose. To maintain connection, obtain it and maintain it on top of all the obstructions until the Creator is revealed in the connection. That's it. And His revelation will bring us to the next level, the reception of the Torah, and walking in the desert, spiritual degrees. And then it'll be a lot, well, not a lot more, not a lot easier, but, well, the first degree is the hardest, but afterwards it'll be different work. Scrutinies that captivate you. You begin to feel alive in there. You begin to feel eternity in there. That it's not just something you do today and it ends tomorrow and who knows what happens. But you become, you participate in the eternal nature. Yes.
What I'm not able to understand in the text we read is that he says you can only learn Torah after you exit Egypt, after you exit the world to receive.
What does it mean to learn Torah?
That's what I'm trying to understand, to draw the light, what I understand from you.
To draw a reforming light and see the result of the light from within the Kelim, that it's a result of the Torah, and learn from these changes what we draw and what happens to us. Through it, you learn the changes in us. That's called learning Torah. What does it mean to learn Torah? You learn the Creator's operations on you, who operates on us and tries to do everything according to our will. We show the desire, the Creator corrects it, and then we, in the corrected desire, we reveal a certain measure of connection with Him.
So the question is, aren't those who need it most, aren't those the ones that in Egypt, those who are unable to do that?
We can't understand the work. We have to come out of Egypt first. That's why they wanted to come out. They had the chisaron, the deficiency, but they couldn't realize the chisaron while they were in Egypt, while they were in order to receive. You have to rise above the will to receive. It's like Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, when you rise above the will to receive, you don't want to use it. And then you ask, give me the ability to use at least something, to connect to some extent. That's called standing against around Mount Sinai. They don't want to use this mountain of hatred, the thoughts. But at least around it will be somewhat connected. Because from Egypt they came out as just a herd, kind of. They had no connection. Pharaoh wouldn't let them connect. The mutual ego rejected them from each other. That's called Pharaoh being between them, his control, his governance. When they escaped Pharaoh's governance, then they started thinking, okay, so maybe we can connect, maybe we can think about them. Before that they were only crying out. But they weren't connected. So the Exodus is the first innovation.
I'm not asking about them, of course, I'm asking about us, about our desires. We want to draw the light in order to exit self-love and the will to receive, right?
Yes.
So, specifically, when you're immersed in it, then you need the light. And he says here, no, you can't. Only when you exit, then you'll get the light. After I exit, I need it less than I need it now.
No, no. First of all, you can't compare today yourself. You can't compare yourself today with the Exodus from Egypt, because you haven't exited yet. We're talking about a state where if I'm in Egypt and want to come out, truly want to come out, this is a beautiful state. And then you need the strength, the power. But why exit? In order to connect. But I can't. And the children of Israel sighed from the work. They were given work and they couldn't do it. So it all goes like, it all sinks like water in sand. Nothing was working out. Because the ego surfaces between them each and every time and wouldn't let them connect. Yes?
In item 155, in the introduction to Tess, he says, even though a person does not understand, he still draws the light, right?
Yeah, yes.
So why does he say here that only after you exit Egypt, then you can learn Torah and draw the light?
Learning Torah is something else. It's when you awaken the reform in Latin in such a way that it corrects the connections between you according to your request. And you see the connection between you, which has now been corrected. And in this connection, you discover the Creator. In the form of chasadim, but he's revealed already. Yes?
So when is the light drawn? After you exit Egypt or before?
Both. During Egypt, the light was also working on them, but not in the way that the result of it was revealed. They were still advancing toward exiting, but they still didn't have it. It was all in the dark. It's the darkness of Egypt. Be a little more flexible. Think about it. What discernments are in the group? That advances this way. Okay, so where is Moscow? Yes, what is our daily task?
The daily task is the 10 prays for the revelation of the force of Abraham in the group and in the entire world. Again, the 10 prays for the revelation of the force of Abraham in the 10 and in the entire world.
You agree? Okay. L'chaim to Moscow and thank you. Today, we're almost all of us are in the morning lesson. We want to thank the Kiev group again, who did a wonderful congress for us. Thank you very much, Kiev. Thanks a lot, and we are ready to come again. Just invite us over. Be well. We're with you. Thank you. Good for you. You're great. And with this.
Announcements to conclude. Learning together. Friends from all the groups in Israel and viewers of Channel 66, you're invited to watch Learning Together live 9 p.m. Israel time, broadcasted on the Facebook page of Kabbalah La'am. We're going to talk about current affairs in the light of Kabbalah and answer questions live. By that, we'll conclude. Thanks to all our viewers. Have a good day. The first mini congress for young people, Friday, 31st of March, the first mini congress for young adults, 18 to 35. You're all welcome to join our congress and then stay for the Zohar lesson and the meal. Waiting to see you all, and let's sing a song.
שמור מקום מיוחד בנשמה בהגשמה כמו מופע בקונצרט מפסנתר עד קלרינט לכל אחד תפקיד מיוחד ישר נפתחנו באוהל אברהם.